Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'm sure a lot of you have heard that song before. After all, it's been used in a lot of movies and TV shows and commercials quite a bit. That's Hadaway, What is Love? Now, most of the song really doesn't make a ton of sense. Believe me, I read the lyrics. But I want to ask you that first question again. What is love? In the context of this song, love is an emotional connection which the singer presumably feels towards a woman. It is a feeling of romantic attraction. But that's not really what love is. Now, this is going to get a little into Mr. Denning's and Mr. Meyer's realm here. But let's talk about grammar. A lot of the time when we talk about love, we are using it as a noun, as an object. My love for you burns with the fire of a thousand suns. Love is an emotion. Love is a feeling. Or it is also used oftentimes as a verb, as a connecting verb. I love you. There is a connection between two people or between a person and an object. When I say I love you, there is some sort of emotional connection there. But neither of those really adequately describes love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, let's turn to Greek. You know the claim that Eskimos have over 100 different words for snow, each describing a different aspect or type of snow? That's not quite true, but Greek has 4 different words for love, each describing a different aspect or a different type or a different facet of what love is. First, there is philios, which means brotherly love, as in Philadelphia, which means the city of brotherly love. The second one is storge, or familial love, the love that is between two family members. Third is eros, or erotic love, which is what we typically think of, and that's the love between spouses. But the fourth kind of love, that's the kind of love that Paul is talking about in this reading, agape. Agape love is properly a verb, an action. You don't feel agape, self-sacrificial love for someone. You actually do it. You actually sacrifice for them. Even when it is used as a noun, the verb, the action of self-sacrifice is implied. The greatest example of agape love we have is Christ, for whose love turned into the action of his life. In John 15:13, he says, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends." Jesus promises to lay down his life for us, and he does. Paul says in Romans, God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That self-sacrifice is the sacrifice of Christ, who was born as a human being, who suffered as a human being, who died a poor criminal's death for us. So love in the 1 Corinthians 13 sense means self-sacrifice. Okay, but what does that look like? First, let's look at it in our relationships. Friendships, families, and of course, romantic relationships. When I think of self-sacrifice in relationships, I always think of, as I said, Jesus' example. Jesus offered himself up for the sake of his bride, the church. Jesus literally died for his bride. That's not something to gloss over. Jesus died for his bride. And so, if I am showing self-sacrificial love in my marriage, I should be willing to lay down my life for the sake of my wife. But there's a lot more to self-sacrifice than just the extreme. Self-sacrificial love is more than just what happens in the extremes. It's about the rest of the time, too. In our marriages and in our families, what would it look like if we demonstrate love by self-sacrifice on a daily basis? Perhaps putting the needs of your spouse and children ahead of your own. Spending time together. Listening to your spouse's work troubles when you are already exhausted. Helping the kids with their homework even though you just want to relax in front of the TV. And this is not what you should be looking for from your spouse. This is what you should be doing for. You should be sacrificing for your spouse, for your family, for your friends, for your neighbors. Perhaps self-sacrificial love with your neighbor means to go out and shovel that. How many inches of snow are we supposed to get this week? 12 inches? Going out and shoveling the snow for your neighbor who is sick or elderly and can't do it for themselves. Self-sacrificial love is giving of yourself, of your time, of your effort, of your talents, of what you are for the other person and not looking for something in return. Okay, so that's what it looks like with our personal relationships, but now, what does self-sacrificial love, what does agape love look like in the context of the church? Now, this is actually the proper application of 1 Corinthians 13, is applying it to the church, where we are now. In the context of 1 Corinthians, Paul is talking to the church in Corinth, one of the Greek cities, about the relationships and about what is going on in their church. In chapter 12, Paul talks about spiritual gifts, all of which work together for the good of the church. And then he continues this in chapter 13 by talking about how those spiritual gifts must be used in love and how that love must inform and permeate into every aspect of the church. And so when we sacrifice in church, what does it look like? Placing others' needs ahead of our own. Caring for one another and bearing one another's burdens, that is self-sacrifice. In Matthew 5:44, Jesus says, "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." If we love our enemies, how much more do we love those who are in this church sitting in the same pew? Those who are also members of Christ's body with us. We can, in fact, go right down the line of verses 4 through 8 and look at how that applies in the church. Love is patient and kind. We are patient with our fellow church members even when it is easier to be impatient. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist in its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. We do not insist on having things our way or resent when we don't get our way. but we bear with one another. We care for one another in letting them have what they need rather than what we want. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth rather than wrongdoing and falsehoods. That is showing love, rejoicing in the truth rather than pushing the lie. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, bearing up with things we don't like and praying for each other. That is self-sacrifice. And love never ends. No matter what happens, we still love one another because we are still brothers and sisters in the church. We are still brothers and sisters in Christ. So, going back to the question at the beginning of the sermon, what is love? Love is self-sacrifice. Love is compassion. Love is shown in the actions we take to serve others. Love does not seek to hurt the other person, but instead to protect from hurt. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep and guard our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord unto life everlasting. Amen.